September 18th, 2009, and you're listening to The Apple Juice Show. If you're interested in sponsoring The Apple Juice Show, please email sales@applejuiceshow.com. Hello and welcome to the 51st episode of The Apple Juice Show. I'm George Drake, host and producer of the show. You can find us on the web at applejuiceshow.com or email us info@applejuiceshow.com. Today with us, we've got Mr. Special Colin, Tony.
How you doing today, George?
I'm doing, you know, marvelous, except, you know, I'm a little, you know, hectic this week because we've got finals finishing up. Well, I've got finals. You finished 2 weeks ago, so lucky for you.
Finals are fabulous. Fabulous finals is what they call
them. I mean, some people say they're finals. I call them finals because, you know, it's the final, you know, finals towards the year, end of the year. But they're actually called midterms because they're just, you know, we're not finishing up the class. You know, it's just finishing up half of the year. So
well, that's because it's a midterm for you, but for college folks, it's their finals.
Yeah. Well, we had a busy couple weeks, you know, had a bunch of things going on with schools finishing up. And so I was getting everything in, but, it's been pretty busy. So we're back with the show. We're going to, you know, have a couple, you know, cool things happening over the break. A couple of interviews I'm going to do, push them out, reviews. Really, I got a bunch of reviews to do. So, one of the things that we talked about in last episode was a couple of new things came out, but, well, that was actually before the interview, but that we had the interview, but now we have, some problems with the 27 inch IMAX, the Core i7s. They're arriving, you know, with cracked and a bunch of problems, which, you know, I'm surprised. Cause you know, I was like, I want to get a Core i7 iMac. You know, I was thinking actually about getting the regular 27 inch and then, you know, the Core i7, my friend's like, pay $200 and get the Core i7. I was like, you know, that's a good idea. You know, and that's just, you know, in my head, you know, I want to get a Core i7. You know, it's not really, you know, physically I can't get one and you know, financially and stuff like that. So, you know, it's several issues and you know, just they've got a bunch of problems. I have actually a couple friends of mine are experiencing a lot of problems, like, you know, overheating or the screen, you know, the different colors in the screen. I actually have one of our friends, Adam Jackson, his iMac 27 inch is going perfectly fine, but I'm, you know, we'll see about that, you know. But, you know, it's really interesting they're having all these problems. So now, one of my friends, he wrote a blog post about it, and he said that he called Apple and he said, listen, you know, this is what's going on. And Apple is certainly aware, but they're not really saying anything. You know, if you email them, they're not going to really reply because they've got so many emails from so many people about this problem. So he called and they said, listen, what we're doing is they're working on the problem and they won't ship for another 2 weeks. So the people that bought iMac 27 inches are, it's probably going to be a recall, I believe. They told him that they're going to send him one within a couple weeks. But the thing is, like, all the people that want an iMac for Christmas are not going to get one on Christmas, like the 27 inches.
Aww.
So that's really sad. So if I were like to get a 27 inch for Christmas, which is probably not going to happen,
it's a New Year's present.
It could be, a New Year's present. So it'll be start of the new year with a new computer, which would be, you know, fantastic. It's a core, you know, quad core, Core i7. It's going to be, you know, stinking, you know, freaking amazing, you know. I can't wait, like, until a couple of days ago, I bought a 27 inch for my grandfather, and he's loving it. In the Magic Mouse, he's, you know, I thought the Magic Mouse would be really bad, but after I played with it a couple times, I'm really, you know, thinking about getting one, you know. I mean, it's not something that I want to get, but,
it'd be nifty to play with and have.
Yeah, it'll be pretty, you know, pretty cool to have. I have the Mighty Mouse. I had the wired one. I gave the wired one away to someone. And I mean, I've got the wireless and I don't even use it. I have this, you know, great Logitech MX Revolution for Mac. You know, it's unfortunate it's discontinued, but it's a great mouse. You know, some people are like, the scrolling's, you know, not that good, but I mean, in the Mighty Mouse, the little, you know, scrolling nipple, it's really, you know, horrible because you have to clean it like every, you know, couple of days. You know, it's all that gunk under it. And so,
if I may say, really quickly,
what do you think about this? You know, these problems, you know, I mean, why?
On my Mighty Mouse, I don't really clean my nipple that much.
Really?
No, it's actually,
but you know, I thought you didn't use your Mighty Mouse. I thought you used that crappy mouse.
No, I just got mine back and it's, I,
have no reason to use my Microsoft mouse anymore.
But you don't clean it that much?
No, actually, I don't.
It didn't get clogged up at all?
No, I've cleaned it once, and it's been fine.
Really? Well, you must wash your hands every time before you touch the money mouse, that's why.
I don't do anything dirty with my hands while I'm on the computer.
Really?
Really.
All right. Moving on. That's a little too extreme for the show. So 27-inch iMac, time slips, 2 weeks, and screen flickering complaints. So basically it's the same thing that, you know, I'm just saying that 2 weeks. Now you go to the Apple website, it's 2 weeks. I'm freaking out here. You know, it's kind of 2 weeks. But, you know, it'll be a new year. So, you know, people out there that have problems, call Apple. They'll be gladly to send you one once they fix this problem, which, you know, they should have done a little bit more testing before they you know, sent them out to their customers, you know. So or they, you know, they, what they could have done, like they sometimes do with products, they say, you know, this is the product we're bringing to you, but it's not going to be, you know, available for what, a couple weeks. So
yeah, we just got to do a couple more tests on it and make sure it all runs fine.
But
it's the thing about I'm getting scared about with Apple turning into like Microsoft or Dell or something like that, because they're releasing products and they're like, there's a little issue with that, and
you're just afraid that'll happen, because then your tattoo will be worthless.
Yeah, I don't want that to happen at all.
That's good. All right. One thing and really interesting is official Google phone coming to January 2010, and it's in testing now. So no, people, this is not, you know, people are like, you know, this is not like people are saying the Android phone. This is Google's going to come out with their own network, mobile network. So it's like AT&T, Verizon, they'll be Google. Like, I actually, it's funny, I don't even know what happened, but there used to be, or there probably still is, it's called Disney Mobile. Did you ever hear about that?
Disney Mobile?
Yeah, Disney had their own mobile provider, but I don't understand how that worked when they didn't have their own network. That's the thing, that's one thing that I was a little interested, but I don't know. I think that went under, you know, it didn't really work out that good well, but...
Well, I didn't hear about it, so it must have not gone well.
didn't get that big. So, this Google phone, it's pretty interesting. I'm interested until it comes out. You know, I want to see, you know, a little bit more information and, you know, possibly get one. So, find out, you know, it's going to be sold as an unlocked GSM phone. So, it's going to be, you know, you'll be able to use it with T-Mobile and possibly AT&T. It's going to come with Android 2.1. It's going to use the Snapdragon chip and is... really, really fast. It's got a high-resolution OLED screen, thinner than an iPhone, two mics, one on the back to reduce background noise, a weirdly large camera, a touchscreen keyboard, and voice-to-text for dictation. Now, this phone is said to do release in January 2009. The Snapdragon chip appears to be based on the same generation as the ARM processor as the iPhone, though it could be running a higher clock speed. Apple, of course, is rumored to be working with their next generation iPhone, though it is not expected until release until mid next year. So what do you think about this, Colin?
Well, I like the whole idea behind the OLED. I've talked to a lot of Sony reps, and you know, they're all about the OLED, and I know that they've been talking about, you know, coming up with this next year, it's, you know, something great gonna be happening. So I'm thinking, okay, OLED. And on a phone, you know, that whole system sounds really nice, considering it's, you know, it'll be lightweight, it'll be organic, and it'll be just as nice as a LED TV.
Yeah, but I just like to get one to, you know, play around with it, have it, you know. I mean, I was thinking as well, same thing with the Nokia, you know, N900, or is that the new one that came out, N900? I think so. And I mean, I want to get one of those, just play around. I mean, I'm not gonna move away from the iPhone. I have a friend, actually, he's an iPhone developer, but he's also an Android developer. So I saw him, and he had an Android phone with him. I was like, are you an Android person, or are you an iPhone? He's like, no, I have an iPhone at home. We said, sure, you have an iPhone at home. He like had a MacBook and everything, and so we were just, you know, it's pretty funny. But I basically want to have another phone with another operating system to be able to compare it, you know, say, you know, all right, this is the flaw about this, but I'm not, you know, right now there's no phone that'll move me from my iPhone, you know. So, but that's cool. And speaking of new iPhone, 64 gigabyte iPhone and 128 gigabyte iPod Touch possible in the first quarter of 2010. Oh, so they're really competing, you know. Apple and Google, they're getting competitive a little now.
Mm-hmm.
So Toshiba has launched their 64 gigabyte NAND flash memory module. And this new chip offers 64 gigabytes of single chip that will start mass production in the first quarter of 2010. So now if they're going to start mass production in 2010, I don't think Apple will have the new iPhone out in 2000 or in the first quarter of 2010. They possibly could, but you know, they might announce it, but you know, so the reason of the largest, you know, iPhone is 32 gigabytes currently is the half the memory of the largest iPod Touch is 64 gigabytes is that the iPhone can only house one single flash chip because it's, you know, has all the stuff in there and the iPod Touch doesn't. So basically that's why iPod Touch can hold more, which is pretty interesting there.
Yeah.
And leading on to that, you know, we've got the thing here where the Apple starts, you know, field testing with their new iPhone 3.1. So the Pinch Media is an iPhone developer company. It provides analytics. Actually, it also provides analytics to application owners and breaks down the customer usage, including the specific devices being used and the list of devices that was reported to the developers with the internal device identification number assigned by Apple. So it said 3.1. So that, which is really, and it's coming from California. So, which is really, really curious is that iPhone, you know, they're working on another one. So yeah. this will be really interesting to see what Apple has, you know.
If I may interject really quick.
You may interject.
I may always interject on your show. Thank you very much, George. There's been a lot of talk between, you know, me and all the people I associate with about, you know, oh, what's Apple going to do next? You know, are they going to do a, you know, Apple netbook? Are they going to do an Apple tablet? This and that and the other thing. And actually, in all honesty, I do not believe Apple is going to be making a netbook. And I do not believe that they are going to be doing anything with a tablet. And here's why. I believe Apple is going to be in just improving the iPhone. That is all that they need to do. Because the iPhone, it's a tablet. It's a touch screen. You can, you know, write with your finger on it. And it's a netbook because you can access the internet from anywhere on it. And you can do all the same things you can do on your computer in an extraordinarily, like, extreme mobile platform. So essentially, it's already the netbook and it's already a tablet. So they don't need to be making anything.
Yeah. I think, you know, and also about that tablet, I haven't heard much about the tablet, but I can't, you know, it was funny because I was at the Apple store the other day and my mom had, over Thanksgiving, my mom had dropped her iPhone in the toilet, which is really funny. She took it out fast enough that it's kept working, which is really funny. Yeah. It's kept working. And so we took it to the Apple store and so we were sitting in there and he's good friends with me now. But you know, he's on Twitter and stuff like that. So, you know, I'm good friends with him now, but before I wasn't. And so we started talking and he's, you know, Hispanic but the guy next to me was having problems and he was a really smart guy about, you know, all of these computers. He had a bunch of Macs and he was having trouble, you know, with his Snow Leopard disk and I was talking to him and he had someone helping him already, but we were talking and he was talking about, you know, all this, you know, iPhone stuff because he didn't have an iPhone and I was talking about it and stuff like that. And I was like, you know, what's going to be really cool is the tablet. And then the Apple guy, you know, the genius guy, he's like, he starts talking right about it. You know, he's like, that's going to be really cool. I mean, if it happens and I mean, he's like, oh, he admitted that Apple doesn't tell him anything, which I don't think is true. I think he knows something. I think he knows something, but he doesn't know much.
Yeah. The, working in a sales environment, not exactly similar to Apple, but you know, because, you know, certain companies don't like to know, like, hey, this is what we're going to have on sale next week.
They don't like that kind of information get leaked out because...
Well, you knew like beforehand about Black Friday deals because they had to train you and stuff.
Yeah, so. We had to get trained on Black Friday deals. Actually, I would have released that information too if one of my managers didn't take my flyers and stuff. But anyway...
You actually didn't you like post it? Someone on Facebook was like, "Hey, can you let me in?" or something.
Yeah, I was gonna tell about. We had a really nice deal on a plasma TV too. Anyway, you know, you get little pieces of information, but a lot of stuff we don't get. You know, we don't know anything about.
Yeah, you don't get an inside. You know,
we don't get inside scoops, but we're given like little pieces of information. But if you talk to a manager, the managers actually know a lot more than any of the associates.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting how, and so, but moving on about that, the inside scoop stuff, we have now, we're talking about this, another thing is, this really cool, Ustream application. I had this, didn't look exactly like this because they did it right. Ustream offers live video streaming for the iPhone. Now, this is Apple has finally approved the Ustream Live Broadcaster. Offers the ability to live stream video directly from your iPhone to via Wi-Fi and 3G, which is great. 3G is, you know, even better. You know, I can be out and, you know, I can be driving and I could be, we could, this is it. South by Southwest, like doing the road trip that you and Billy are planning, be the thing and stream with your iPhones.
Absolutely. See, and this just furthers, you know, just to backtrack a few seconds. Again, with the netbook, this is a netbook. You can stream straight from your phone. Before, you couldn't do that.
So you've got, yeah. It's. I mean, it's really great. You open up the application, you log in. You know, if you're not logged in, you can do a poll. You can mute. You can share. You can stop the stream. You can see the, you know, you can see the chat. So one of the key features of the iPhone 3GS was video recording capabilities that was limited to the recording that were captured on your device and could be uploaded to the web after they were done recording. With the Ustream Live Broadcaster app, you can easily record videos right to the web and allow others to watch them as they're being recorded. These videos can be archived so that people can watch them later if they choose. So, you know, it's including Twitter, Facebook, YouTube integration, viewer chatting, and polling and geolocation. Now, the debut about the Ustream Live Broadcasting marks the second approval of the video streaming application for the iPhone in recent days, following Apple's CEO Steve Jobs' apparent personal involvement in the approval of Knocking Live Video. Knocking, however, offers only iPhone-to-iPhone one-on-one streaming, while Ustream supports streaming to the internet for multiple viewers. Ustream is no stranger to the App Store, has debuted an application for the viewing videos earlier this year. So they basically, there are applications out there from Ustream. There's the video, which basically you could record video on your iPhone and then upload it to Ustream. There's the Broadcaster app. And then there is the other one, which lets you view videos. You know, now what they need to do is they need to combine all three of them together.
I think what they need to do before they do that is the viewing application. You need to be able to see, you know,
everything,
anybody's,
because it's very limited right now. It's very limited to what you can see.
Because like while I'm on my phone, I'll get like, you know, a text message from Twitter. It'll say I'm streaming live from my iPhone on Ustream. And I'll hit the link, and I can't access Flash on my iPhone for an obvious reason.
So you need to be able, when you open that link, it needs to be able to link you to the Ustream application.
Yeah, just pulls up the Ustream application, and it'll automatically start playing whoever's stream it is.
Yeah,
I go, oh, that's cool. I should hover it over to wherever this is and check them out.
I wouldn't mind if they were to do this and they were to put them all in one, so you could record your local video and upload it. You could watch anybody stream, and you can stream live all from that one application. I wouldn't mind paying $2 or $3 for it.
I wouldn't mind either,
just because it's Ustream.
I would pay $5 for it.
Well, I mean, you, because yeah, you're you, but I would pay $2 or $3. But
I'm rich
now. But now this opens up a whole new, you know, direction that Apple is easing up on your, you know, up on the iPhone developers, you know, letting private API usage slide temporarily. So despite the inevitably leaving in a programming call to the private API, they were pleased to find the update had still been approved and they were simply warned to address the issue in the next update. And so someone got this email saying, thank you for submitting your update to iStimulate to the App Store. During the review of your application, we found it is using a private API, which is a violation of the iPhone Developer Program License Section 3.3.1. 3.3.1 applications may only use documented APIs in the manner prescribed by Apple and must not use or call private APIs. While your application has not been rejected, it would be appropriate to resolve the issue in the next update. So, you know, they're not really saying here it's denied. They're saying this is what what's wrong. You need to resolve this. But
yeah.
So they're now with the other thing, going back to the Ustream application, that opens up. This opens up. Hey, there's a bunch of applications that are like, hey, I know Justin TV is probably working on an application. So, I mean, that would be cool if we would have, Justin TV, Ustream's already in the App Store. Quick. I'm using Quick's, ad hoc version. But It would be great to see if Quick already has one in there that you could basically, just like Ustream had before, you can record it locally and then upload it. But Quick is another one for mobile streaming. They've got it all on the Nokia, the whole Nokia line they've got.
I don't want to interrupt you or anything, but the Quick app for the iPhone does do the streaming and it's live, like right now.
No, really?
Yeah, I just had it on my iPhone. I deleted it once Ustream got theirs out.
No, Quick lets you record and then upload. Quick doesn't let you. I'm pretty sure that no, it doesn't.
Let me see.
Quick enables you to capture. Right, this is what it says. Quick enables you to capture your moments with your friends, family, and the world with a push of a button. You can record and share. You can't stream.
No, I swear I could have streamed directly from. Keep talking.
But I've got inside news. I have a couple people that work there and good friends of mine that they have submitted it to the Apple Store. Sometimes I call it the Apple Store, but Quick has submitted the iPhone. On the iPhone, Quick appears to be the topic of interest for users since users first time. We launched the video. And so since then, they've made great strides to bring not only high-quality video streaming from iPhone to provide rich features like one-tap sharing to your favorite social network location support, ability to play back videos, and much more, then store to enable you can capture. Okay, we have now taken the next step and submitted the Quick application that enables you to share your experience live from the iPhone for approval to the App Store. Now let's see what happens. So this was Wednesday, December 9th that they said this.
It's been a week.
And they said it said the application that was approved yesterday is not, so there was an update, but there was an update. Some people were like, there's an update, but the update was just a fix, some bug fixes.
Yeah, that's what I thought it was too. And I don't have much time to play with apps or anything like that since I work so much, but yeah, I was wrong. It is just
so hopefully we can see, a couple streaming apps in there from Apple, approved in the App Store.
Soon, hopefully soon.
Soon and very soon. All right. When people say soon, I get that song from my church in my head. Chrome for Mac nearly matches Safari and JavaScript benchmarks. Chrome for Mac beta is out. Go grab it at google.com/Chrome. You don't got it for Mac. One thing you cannot do is you cannot put extensions. That's one thing I'm looking forward to when they, it's right around the corner. They're right around the corner from releasing, the full version. And it's really, it's really snappy. I haven't used, moved over to Chrome yet is because of the extensions. I've got I've got Safari open. I've got 1Password, in there, I've got all my bookmarks. I mean, I just like Safari. It's my, my main web browser. I've always used it. I'm not a person that can really switch over to a browser once you're hooked on one, but I'm going to move myself towards Chrome, start using it. It's going to be interesting.
I like Chrome. I just pulled it up. I had it downloaded once it came out.
But... one thing I like about Chrome is that the tabs are on top. Instead of you know, Safari, you know, the tabs are on top. I like that.
The original version of Safari.
One of the first betas.
Yeah.
Safari 4 beta was, when it was in beta, on top. And I liked it.
It was all right.
They should have done two versions, or, you know, you could switch it, you know. I would have liked that. So
it should be an option.
Not a big topic of Chrome, you know, it's not a big topic. So one of the things I'm doing right now is it's right here. So Apple purchase price for Lala, $80 million.
Woo.
So Apple ends up paying $80 million for the company, according to multiple sources. That's less than half of what investors valued in the company in 2008, but it's more than $35 million the company raised throughout its life, which means that some investors could get their money back and more. So this is pretty cool. TechCrunch said that Apple purchase price for Lala was only $17 million, including Lala's report cash reserve of $14 million. The purchase price would be valued to the company itself at only $3 million. So, you know, $80 million, it wasn't true. You know, people were saying $80 million. No, it was $17 million. But Lala, if you don't know, Lala's a great, you know, it's a really cool application. Basically, you know, I found out about it not too long ago. I typed in a song and it came up, and the first hit was Lala, and I could hear the song for the whole song. So it was funny because I could hear the whole song, and then after that I could only hear, you know, 30 seconds of it, just like Apple.
Yeah.
It doesn't. But It's a great. I never heard of it until, you know, this whole big deal, you know, started, and when I learned about it, you know, on Google when I typed in. So right now, what's great is that Lala, I downloaded the application, and it's basically in my, it's not in my preferences, but it's an open application, and basically it's uploading all my music, well, the music that it, you know, it's. Goes and finds in that's matching it from the computer to the database. It's you know, linking it, which is great. So I can go anywhere. I can go anywhere and open up Lala and just start playing my music. That now, what would be cool is if they had an iPhone application.
That would be pretty cool.
Because then I could open up my iPhone. It'd be just like Pandora, but this would be all my music on the go.
Yeah.
And then it could, because Spotify has an iPhone application in the UK, but one of their features is you can go in and you can create a playlist, and you can make that playlist offline. So basically, you can go in and listen to that playlist offline, so you don't have to be, you know, connected to the internet.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one cool thing. So moving on to another thing, TomTom introduces US only GPS iPhone version for $49. So it's $49. Through December 28th. So get your application, you know, quickly, you know, 28th. So that's going to be, it's going to be really cool. And they lowered the US and Canada version to $69 for limited time only. But I'm going to see, I want to see how much you think they'll, if they have the US and Canada at $100, how much do you think they'll put the US version for if they're going to only have it at $50? Or if they have it at $50 now, how much do you think they'll put it for?
Seeing how they've done pricing in the past, you know, not, you know, any company in particular, but just altogether, I think, you know, they'd probably just keep it at $50.
If they kept it at $50, I would buy it.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool. Because I'm not planning on going to Canada, you know, anytime soon. If I do, I'm not going to drive. I will fly to Canada, get a taxi, and go where I'm going to go, and then, you know, that's it. And then have someone drive me around. I've never been in I've never really been in a taxi.
Taxis are fun.
Like, I've probably been once, but I don't remember. All right, moving on. I tweeted the other day, I think I was the source that let out, Apple updates MobileMe iDisk iPhone application.
Really?
A couple of new things in the version. Autocomplete email address when choosing recipients for shared files. File sharing emails are automatically saved to your mail account sent folder. When viewing an image, tap and hold save to the camera roll or copy it to another app. Maximum setting for cache size in now 500 megabytes from 200. Faster downloads. Various bug fixes. localizations for Chinese, Danish, Dutch.
Chinese, Danish.
Finnish. Finnish.
Finnish.
Is that a language?
Yes, from Finland.
Oh. That's funny. Italian, Norwegian, Korean, Polish, Portuguese, Russian, Swedish,
and Spanish. Swedish fish.
And yeah, and you heard me during Spanish. My main language is Spanish.
Espanol.
Mobimi iDisk was released in late July, offering Mobimi subscribers easy access to their online iDisk storage with support for viewing a number of popular document types. Are you a Mobimi subscriber, Colin?
Not right now, no.
Not right now. I mean, you know, there's some, you know, pluses and there's some minuses to having a Mobimi. I have a Mobimi family, and so that means that I have to update it once a year with my money, and I have other people on it, like family members. So, I mean, I don't really tell them to pay me because I just really gave it to them. I didn't really say, here, you know, you want one, so.
Mm-hmm.
But it's really cool, you know. I prefer Dropbox, but Mobimi has a couple of the features that Dropbox does not. So that's pretty much it. Now, I'll review mine. I know you're not going to take my review, but you can review your application first.
All right. Well, you know, considering I do a lot of working and stuff, and I'm actually working right now in a place where I don't really know where everything is. Well, I got a little application called Where. It's a cool little application. What it does is it uses your iPhone's GPS, and it picks up on your everything local. On the first screen, it'll give you, you know, cheapest gas price closest to you. It's actually less than a mile from my current location for $2.62. Believe it. It gives you the local weather, and it gives you some local news. And the nearest Starbucks is on the next screen. Some events that go on, and, you know, just simple things that are, you know, going on. It even gives you some local tweets. It's just a really nice application, and you can even use it to search for, say, if you're looking for the local Boston market. Just hit search, and it'll give you, there's two Boston markets nearby. One on Southwood College Road and one on West Newberry Road. I have no idea where either of those are. But anyway, then I can just, you know, get the directions, give them a phone call if I need to. And it's pretty useful app, I'd say.
So what's the name of the app again?
It's called Where, Where.
Free?
It's free. I only hit the free apps.
I know you do, Colin, but you paid for Tweety too. Great application.
I've paid over $100 in apps.
All your applications? Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
I don't know how much I've paid in applications. I've probably paid more than $100. I have 470 applications right now. 71.
Wow.
71 applications. So I don't know how many of them are paid and how many of them are, you know.
Just kind of there.
You know, yeah, I'm not going to really count them. So, I want to review this really cool application. Some of you might have heard of TapBots is the development team. They're behind the popular WaitBot and ConvertBot. They're two iPhone applications. And now, Colin, you might need to get this. Might need to get this. So
calling me fat?
No. Not that application. Those are two applications. I said you might need to get the application that I'm reviewing.
Okay.
So has released its third application, PasteBot. App Store $2.99. $1.99. Just got distracted there. PasteBot is an elegant and powerful copy and paste tool that offers tools for image and text manipulation, as well as syncing with local Macs via free preference pane download. This is amazing. The syncing is amazing. Just update. An update just came out for it. It was updating during the show. So you can save, organize, and edit text and image clippings with ease. You can search capabilities and folders for organization. You can apply text and image filters like find and replace on text or convert a image to black and white. 14 filters total with more on the way. You can create new clippings within the app. You can create a new image clipping from your iPhone or import them from your photo library. Useful metadata like image dimensions, character word count, and creation database. Copy image back and forth between your iPhone and iPod or iPhone or iPod clipboard with one tap. You can send clippings as emails within the app or save images back to your photo library. Push text and images from your Mac to Pastebot instantly over Wi-Fi. You can paste text and images to your Mac from your iPhone and iPod Touch wirelessly. Tapbots is amazing. So, you know, I'll link you to the video that they made. It's, you know, it's amazing application that they, you know, have put together. I purchased it last night. And let me tell you, I'm impressed. The UI is incredible. Just the UI. And I have it on my second page. So it's just really cool. Really cool. Colin, here, do you have a, are you in the app store looking at it or not?
Yeah, I'm looking at it right now.
All right. Just beautiful application for, like, you know, a bunch of, you know, if I have like a bunch of, you know, keywords that I, you know, text to people, you know, I can just open up, copy it from there and paste it and, you know, send it over. It's really cool. And so if I, it's really like, let me even open up on my iPhone right now and you know, to explain. So Colin texts me something and, or he, you know, he sends me a photo of while he's at work. I copy the photo. I go into Pastebot. It's automatically copied into Pastebot already. And, you know, as soon as I open it up, it starts syncing with my computer. So it's connected to my computer right now. So if I go on my computer and I'm going to, you know, Colin's going to send me something.
I'm sending you something right now.
Send me some text on iChat. Just send me like a link or something like that. It's going to be, you're going to be amazed, Colin. So type something in. All right. I don't know what this website links to. I'm not going to let me, I'm not going to click on it. My copy link.
It's a good website.
All right. Within not even a second, it was already on my iPhone. So, Colin, let me turn on my video here real quickly, and I want to show you how cool this is. All right, so type something in the chat there.
You just got a text from me.
I did. Whoa! All right, Colin, can you send me a link? Send me a link to something or a text.
Watch. Text you or
on iChat? On iChat.
On iChat.
Yeah. Say something random.
How are you?
Okay. Watch this. All right. Let me see if I can get closer. Let me move the mic out of the way. All right. I'm holding up my iPhone to Colin, and he's watching. All right. You watching, Colin?
Mm-hmm.
All right. I'm gonna copy this. Bam! Shows up right there. That's really cool. And so, you know, I can, you know, I don't have to, it's, I can copy and paste it. I can go in here and I can do a filter. So it tells me, you know, it's 25 characters, 5 words. And I can go in here and I can do settings. I can convert to lowercase. I can convert to uppercase. I can decode HTML entries. I can encode HTML findings. I can find and replace. I can quote lines. I can smarten quotes. I can straighten quotes. I can wrap in HTML tags. It's really cool. This is going to be a really useful application for most of you. I mean, I just want to thank you, Tapebots, because you're, you know, amazing developer. You know, I've got Waitbot and the other, you know, ConvertBot. I think I have ConvertBot. It's just really cool application, but we're getting a little bit over time here, so we've got to cut it short. So where can you find you, Colin?
You can find me over at specialkolin.com, and also you can find me at my new project, letmegetadollar.com.
All right, and you can find me on twitter.com/gdrage. You can find us on the website applejuiceshow.com. You can find the show notes there as well with links to, you know, videos, Colin's, you know, pick, my pick, you know, just wonderful, wonderful things you can find there. Go check it out. You know, we're, you know, working on that, and I'm working on another personal website of mine, blog, because mine, you know, screwed up. So, but, you know, so thank you very much for, you know, participating, you know, listening, Colin participating, you guys listening into the show, if you want to come on the show, and you're, you know, a Mac fan, you know, you have, you know, a bunch of things, you know, you like to say, if you have something you want to review, or if you want me, if you want me to review something, let us know. info@applejuiceshow.com and we'll schedule you in. All right. So this has been a wonderful 51 episode of the Apple Juice Show. We're moving along, so you'll see, you know, some changes, you know, probably within a couple days, you know, I don't know. Christmas break, I want to do a couple different things and see what we can do here. Colin, get Colin involved, some other stuff. We'll have a nice day, nice night, nice, you know, wherever you are, you know, have a good day. Thank you very much.